You're tuned in to Agriculture Today. Our first segment originating from the 2017 Risk and Profit Conference here at K-State, hosted by the Agricultural Economics Department, as we've been telling you about. And later on today, the grain outlook will be covered in quite some detail by our guest, who's along with us every Friday, Dan O'Brien, grain market economist, K-State Research and Extension. And our conversation here, Dan, will be more or less a preview of what you'll be sharing here in just a few moments at Risk and Profit. But what is going to be the general tone of what you pass along in your presentation?
I think that the information being rested upon right now in the grain markets is generally pretty cautious to negative. That said, still, you look at individual parts of these sets of supply-demand assumptions for corn, grain, sorghum, wheat, and soybeans, and the game isn't over yet. Particularly, you look at something like corn. The assumptions that went into the 169, just under 170 bushel per acre yield projection by USDA NASS were resting on the information they knew as of August 1. It was still ongoing consensus that ear weights in their calculations were a question, really not a lot of accounting for abandoned acres and earlier problems. It was kind of incredulously responded to by people is the number we had on August 1, and now as we've seen expanding dryness in some pretty important production areas, now large parts of Iowa move towards matching the dryness that we've seen up in North, South Dakota, part of Nebraska, and on into Montana. When you see all that, still leaves room for reduction yet in those yield numbers. Still awfully hard to reconcile, the strong opinion that we were somewhere 167, 165, 168 for yields, and to have that high number come in. I've been at a meeting here within the last week. I've talked to USDA NASS representatives, and again, they explained very carefully what they consider at this time here in August for yield information to come up with that corn yield, and there's room still for adjustment. That said, the biggest adjustment, one thing I'll talk about here later today, is if you look at since year 2000, the biggest adjustment that we've seen to the downside from the August crop report to the final numbers has been, there was one year we dropped 12 bushels, next year 5, and most adjustments in regular years are more like 2, 3, 4 bushels at the most. So for us to have a major move to go from just under 170 to 165 is getting towards the largest move that you would have seen.
It's not unprecedented, it's just out of the norm.
It's not unprecedented, and probably the thing that is still the biggest wild card out there, I think, is expansion of these dry areas off into Iowa and some other lingering late production, late planting problems in other parts of the Corn Belt.
And a lot of the same could be said for the soybean complex and concerns about how that crop will finish, especially once again in Iowa, you say.
Yeah, really. Of course, Iowa's huge production state for soybeans, but with the growth of row crops up in the Dakotas, it's pretty large up there too. Again, we're sitting here in August and see generally decent weather in most places except in these extreme drought areas. So it's kind of I wouldn't call it an ambivalence about the whole thing, but hard to figure where that soybean number will go. I really do think, though, that we'll have more information. We'll have gotten through flowering. We'll really have I guess I'd place more credence now in that September number than that August number. Again, we have to get through August to see how the flowering and these other reproductive periods get. That said, man, we're shooting at about 4.3 billion bushels of soybeans. If anything's a surprise in all those USDA numbers that came out, is their optimism on exports. That sounds like I'm a real downer, Eric, not trying to be, but in so many of those use categories, even with large South American crops, especially for soybeans, there's anticipation that our exports this coming year will be just as good next year as this. And, there's a lot that will have to play out in terms of what our world competitors actually have happened to them before we get past, we haven't even harvested the 2017 crops, but to get past the first of the year next year and see what happens in South America, et cetera, et cetera.
And the bar is being set pretty high for our bean exports at present.
Well, yeah, right now we have scenarios in place, low prices, strong usage, which is tremendous. We need strong usage to move through these stockpiles, but even at the levels we have, I think you have to be somewhat cautious to look at the projections USDA has put out for such strong usage in a number of these areas. One thing I would say, I'm giving thought to this, and working with other colleagues in the university land grant system, there's a kind of a consensus emerging that probably looking at lower wheat acres again next year, and that decision is going to be made for winter wheat in Kansas coming up September, October.
And there are rumblings out in the countryside to that effect here in Kansas.
You know, I'd be nothing if not a two-handed economist. On the one hand, you've got the things that would drive it down, and they're right out there. You know, lack of profitability from low prices and this burgeoning wheat streak mosaic issue that we have, that's not encouraging anybody to plant more wheat, at least marginally, to lower it. But on the other side, the other issue that's burgeoning is like a cash flow problem, working capital problem, to be technical about it. And if people are short of cash, then the lowest cost crop we can plant that's harvested the fastest is winter wheat, planted this October for not as much as some of the competitive crops you'd be considering. Planted in September, October of this year, harvested July, you could sell that, turn it to cash, you know, potentially quicker than the other crops you're waiting until October, November in some cases to harvest. And cash flow needs could come in and mitigate some of these other negative factors in terms of U.S. wheat acres. Would not be surprised to see corn acres move higher next year, some thinking as much as 3 million acres higher. If we're going higher on corn acres and lower on wheat, then in the difference you probably have soybean acres moving, not all of 3 million, but more like 2, you know, or somewhere in the middle of that to the other side. And it's not that corn's doing great on its own, but there's just enough pessimism about how a large South American crop, 4.3 billion bushels soybean crop, how that'll affect prices this fall for beans.
You're talking up the likelihood of wide basis at harvest as per your presentation.
Yes, you know, where does wide basis come from? Large inventories and storage problems. Maybe the thing that will be good out of this conference to talk to people about will be how our financial issues, our tight cash flows that have been building from 2015, 16, and if we have low prices again and now 2017, how our tight cash flow positions for a good proportion of our farmers could drive them to sell cash quicker as soon as they get it to alleviate some of these financial issues, much less have, you know, people in the financial community encourage them to do that. And if that happens, then you create sharper harvest lows, wider basis, and maybe hopefully a better recovery after that because you'll have washed the prices out some. But to the degree we have financial issues coming and affecting cash flows, it could make cash marketing's sharper and quantity-wise heading off into fall and would be surely a negative drag on prices.
Well, it's hardly a glowing overall outlook, but reality is reality.
Yeah, I just talked about all that, Nate. That's the possibility of what could occur. And each one of these commodities, there are some things to still consider. On the feed grain side, the numbers interpreted very negatively for corn, grain, sorghum. If you were thinking judiciously, you'd think that number is probably going to come down in terms of the U.S. corn, grain, sorghum yield figures, and at both yield and acres. So things may not look as bad from just a supply-demand balance point of view as now, and we still have that, what's going to happen in Iowa. For soybeans, there's still some uncertainty there. Actually, there's some quiet positive news in long-term building for soybeans. And it's not just China that's buying soybeans that has strong demand. A lot of those Southeast Asian countries, you know, Vietnam, Thailand, etc., they're all growing in their demand. So it's not only China that's building a demand base. So I hope, like everything, that I'm wrong on being so pessimistic about soybeans. For wheat, the issue with wheat is, and you read the market reports, we're paying attention to the large aggregate, and people say, oh my gosh, we have more wheat than we've ever had. But in this report, the disparity between that aggregate point of view and the one that takes China out of the picture and sees where we're at, could not be more stark. It's getting worse, and that we now have at least a tide of a non-China world wheat supply demand situation as we had since 2012 when we were setting record high prices. From talking with my colleagues in the Dakotas, now they're just starting to see with their tight spring wheat crop situation where when people come into that market looking to buy hard red spring wheat, that they can't find what they want, so they're getting skittish. So, and that's what you'll have to see. I think you'll have to see the cash market lead the futures up, because the futures are all focused on this aggregate, whereas the cash market, you know, the real market has to live and die in terms of what they can actually find. And if they can't find what they need, then they have to bid up.
Well, that's a great warm-up for your presentation later on this morning, Dan. And thanks for the comments, as always.
Thanks, Eric. Take care.
Dan O'Brien, grain market economist, K-State Research and Extension. Once more, his full grain market outlook will be presented later on this morning at the Risk and Profit Conference here at Kansas State University. This is Agriculture Today.